The Legal Tender Act, which we also discussed earlier, with its greenbacks, also contributed to a more stable currency in the North. So that's one area in which the Republicans had their way. The Homestead Act was another. In May 1862, Congress passed the Homestead Act, which had long been sought by them and by some of their Whig predecessors, but opposed by the Democrats. This carried through on the old free soil idea of making Western lands available to free white farmers. It offered 160 acres of government land to anyone who had lived on it for 5 years and made improvements. Eventually, 80 million acres were given out under the Homestead Act, 3 million of which were given out during the war. The Land-Grant College Act of 1862, or the Morrell Act, named after Senator Justin Morrell of Vermont, who sponsored it, is another major piece of Republican legislation. It gave each state 30,000 acres for each representative and senator that state had, with the stipulation that the sale of that land would be used to establish at least one college within the state. And the college had a specific goal. That goal was to teach a new curriculum, to teach a curriculum not made up of Latin and Greek and the subjects that had dominated the sort of classic curriculum in colleges and universities in the United States, but to teach agricultural and mechanical arts. This would make education more relevant to the economic pursuits of the majority of Americans, argued the Republicans. We're going to train people who wouldn't have gone to college before, and we're going to train them in a way that will work to the benefit of our economy as we move toward the end of the century. Southerners and Democrats had Southern Democrats as well as Northern Democrat allies had previously blocked this legislation. I think it's really the most important piece, single piece, of federal educational legislation in U.S. history, because so many of the great universities in the United States were founded under this legislation. Many of those that have state in their title, Michigan State, Kansas State, Texas A&M, Penn State University, many great universities that have made enormous contributions in many areas came out of this Republican legislation. The last piece of legislation we'll look at is the Pacific Railroad Bill of July 1st, 1862. Now, Transcontinental Railroad had had support both North and South before the war. Both sides wanted a Transcontinental Railroad, both sections did, but the question was, where would the Eastern Terminus be? Southerners hoped it would be somewhere in the South. Northerners thought that it would be a good idea to have it farther north. Well, with the Southern representatives and senators gone from the United States Congress, a bill passed making Omaha, Nebraska the Eastern Terminus and San Francisco the Western Terminus. Grants were provided for each mile of railroad built. The original grant, 6,400 acres of federal land and $16,000 in federal loans for every mile of the railroad that would be built. Those figures were both raised later. Out of this act drew the Union Pacific and Central Pacific and later the Southern Pacific Railroads. And out of 1864 legislation, the Northern Pacific Railroad grew. Subsequent grants totaled 120 million acres of federal land. This is an enormous involvement of the United States government in what would have been called an internal improvement. Overall, these laws and other Republican legislation furthered the growth of modern capitalism, a national banking system with a more stable national currency, federal aid for railroads that would further development in the West, land-grant colleges that would train young people to be better farmers and engineers and mechanics, and free land for farmers that provided them with the capital asset most needed to begin a career in agriculture. In the absence of opposition from Southerners in Congress, the North was moving rapidly toward a new order that would dominate the nation for many decades to come. The ability of the North to fight a major war and pursue economic development engendered a feeling of great optimism across the northern states. William Tecumseh Sherman's brother, who was a senator from Ohio, John Sherman, commented shortly after Appomattox on this phenomenon. He said, "The truth is, the close of the war with our resources unimpaired gives an elevation to the ideas of leading capitalists far higher than anything undertaken in this country before. They talk of millions now as confidently as they talked formerly of thousands. I think this attitude, again, in the North provided a stark contrast to that in a South wracked by years of wearing combat and with an economy that was in terrible shape in April of 1865. We'll leave the North now with its economy doing so well, a largely upbeat topic, really. And we'll move to a much darker aspect of the Civil War with our next lecture. We'll look next time at prisons and prisoners of war.